You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Passage of scripture in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we're going to read in your hearing the first two verses, if you would. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Beginning at verse number 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." From these two verses, I would like to take for a thought this morning, the race of faith. And for a B, if I could, I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. It has been said, well documented, that running is a great form of exercise. And for some of you that may not know, and some may know, that a few years ago I took up running. Began to run because my doctor told me that I needed more exercise. And so I began this running regimen, and immediately I caught what was known as the runner's bug, which means that I was running as much as I could, even to the point of injuring myself at times. But every winter, we would break off and we wouldn't run throughout the winter. And so this year, it was a little bit difficult getting back into running. As a matter of fact, yesterday was our first day back on Belle Isle. Normally we go to Belle Isle and we'll run Belle Isle. It's our first day back, and I come to find something and discover something yesterday. And I found out that I really don't like running. I don't like running. But I run because it's good for my health. I run because it gives me the exercise that I need that will strengthen my heart. Because studies have shown that running will help with such illnesses as heart disease as well as stroke. And so really, in essence, when I run, I'm running for my life. And understand that we all are running a race, whether you admit it or not, all of us are running a race. The Bible makes it plain and clear. In Ecclesiastes 9, he says, "The race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong." And we need to understand that this is a race of faith that we're running. It's a tedious race. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's very difficult at times. And another thing that I discovered yesterday is that not only do I not like running, I don't like running without a purpose. If I'm gonna run, I need a finish line. I need a goal that I can set. If I'm just running just to be running, that's senseless to me. But there's some benefits to running because it gets the heart rate up. It conditions the heart. It also strengthens other muscles in the body. And I begin to apply this in a spiritual sense because this is the race of faith. Everything that we do in this life as believers, as Christians, is done by faith. But I've been surprised to find that there are some believers and even some leaders and pastors that will have trusted God with their lives, but have not trusted God with their living. In other words, you trusted God to save you, but you have not trusted God to the point to where you're living holy and living righteously. It's the same type of faith that's needed. The same faith that got you saved is the same faith that will lead you along your way in this journey of called life, this race called life. It's not enough for you to just be saved. But by faith, we live these lives that God has set before us. And this is what the writer here is saying in Hebrews. Hebrews is an epistle. It's an epistle to the Hebrew people, those who have given their lives to Christ, but had had thoughts of turning back and going back to Judaism. In the Hebrew text, if you look at it, it begins as an essay. Because in verse number one of chapter number one, he talks about how he spoke to them by the prophets in the old times. But now he speaks by his son. But when you get to chapter number two, it turns into a sermon because he begins to give them instructions on how they're to live these lives. You get to the end of Hebrews, it ends as a letter as he gives salutation and greetings to all of the saints. Contents in Hebrew are deep and they're challenging. And many Christians find it difficult. And some have even equated it to the book of Revelation in terms of difficulty. But understand this, that but if Christians, if we are willing to take the time to really read and understand Hebrews, we read that we are redeemed. We are blessed by God. We have trusted in Christ Jesus. We also are impressed with the superiority of Christ and his covenant over Moses and the old covenant. But we are also warned of the dangers of apostasy and the need of steadfastness and faith and trusting and reliance upon God. Yeah, I tell you, this is a race of faith where we trust God with everything that we have. He opens our text with these simple words about a cloud of witnesses that are watching. Now understand this, that when we look at this text, sometimes we are compelled to think that this is our loved ones that are sitting in heaven that are looking down on us. But there's nowhere in God's text that supports that ideology. And what this text really talks about is, it talks about in light of the saints that came before us, in light of the way that they lived their lives, listen here, not having the promise. Moses, Abraham, Enoch, none of them had the promise, nothing but the promise. They had not seen the promise. They had not seen Christ, but yet still believed. And so what he's saying here is that in light of that, in light of these people who were faithful, even until their death, gave their lives believing and trusting that the promised Messiah would come. He said, in light of that argument, you are to hold fast to your faith. Yeah, these are not spectators. These are not folk that's looking down from heaven on us. Because understand this, that my life does not always reflect that of a Christian. And I don't want them looking down on none of the shameful stuff that I'm doing. Understand that there is grace and mercy for that. But there's some stuff that I've done I don't want mama to see from heaven. I know that God sees everything. And his eyes go to and fro. He knows everything that I do. As a matter of fact, he even knows the intention of my heart. But yet still, he still loves me. He still forgives me. For the scripture said that if I confess my sins, that he's faithful and just to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So no, these are not our loved ones. But there is an indication There's no indication that the dead know what is going on earth. Ecclesiastes 9:5. But the dead may know not anything, he says, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And while we may have memories of what happened, the attention and focus in their present condition will be in heaven. They're focused on Jesus, even up in heaven. So we need to understand that they're not looking down on us. But we can look back in chapter number 11 and see all of these people that are in the hall of faith and understand if they're able to do it, we should be able to do it as well. But if we're going to run this race, then we need to lay some stuff aside. As a matter of fact, that's the next point, is that we need to lay some things aside. As a matter of fact, there are three things necessary to run this race in the text. And the first one is that we need to lay some stuff aside. Talks about the weight. And understand that if you're going to run a race, the best way to run a race is with as least amount of weight as possible. And you know, this reminds me of when I first started running. I had gone to the doctor. The doctor said, you know, you need to get some exercise. So quite naturally, I got out and I started running. And I began to lose a little weight. And so I went back for a follow-up visit. And I just knew my doctor was going to be thrilled at the fact that I'm out there running 3 miles a day. I'm conditioning my heart and so on and so forth. And I go in and I sit down and I tell him, I say, Doc, I'm running 3 miles a day. And he said something to me. He said, Mr. Miner, don't you know you're too fat to be running? Wait, hold on. That's not exactly what he said. But that's what I heard him say. But what he was really saying is that he said, you're putting too much weight on your back. You're putting too much weight on your knees. He said, Mr. Miner, you need to lose some of the weight before you start running. Well, needless to say, I didn't listen. I kept on running. Understand that there's sometimes that you got to push through some things. And I knew that if I kept running, the weight would come off. And that's exactly what happened. In one summer, I lost 30 pounds just running. And I got rid of the weight that I might be able to run a half a marathon the following year. But I knew that in my present condition, with all the weight that I had on me, there was no way that I could even think about running a marathon. So in other words, sometimes you got to lose some of the weight that you got. Well, brother preacher, what kind of weight are you talking about? I'm talking about there's some folk in your life that are dead weight that you've been carrying for years. There's some relationship that you need to get out of because it ain't nothing but bringing you down. You're carrying some relationships that are nothing but negative in your life. You need to drop that weight off. There's some places that you've been going, Pastor. Some things that you've been doing that are not necessarily sin, but they're weights on your life. They hinder you from witnessing and being effective for the cause of Christ. You need to drop that weight. Some things that are going on in your life, in your household. There's some children that have been bringing you down. And you need to turn them over to God and drop that weight. Because it's contrary. It's stuff that stifles your faith. Something that hinders your progression. You're too busy back here trying to hold on to somebody that really don't want to be bothered with you in the first place. And it's holding you back. You gotta let go of that weight. Listen, as painful as it is, you need to let go of the weight. The weight is what's blocking you from getting the blessing that God has for you. But for whatever reason, we want to keep on holding on to this weight. It's non-productive. It's inefficient. As a matter of fact, it's downright hurtful to you. And you need to lose the weight. We all got weights that we need to lose. I got my own weight that I need to lose. And I don't need for you to come up to me and tell me how fat I am. Hello, somebody. I know I'm fat. And I'll keep on running. I know that when I said I'm fat, I'm not just talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritually. There's some things that are weighing me down. There's things that are stopping me from going where God has told me to go. Stopping me from doing the things that God has told me to do. Because I'm weighted down. But I keep on running. And eventually the weight will fall off. I keep on running, keep on going. Don't stop running. So I looked at the doctor and I told him, I said, doctor, when I went back the next time, and I was down 25 pounds, and he said, Mr. Minor, how did you do it? I said, well, Dad, I didn't take your advice. I kept running. I kept running. And so needless to say, he had to somewhat admit that it was a success, that I was able to accomplish what he told me to in the way that I thought was best for me. I had to keep running. Yeah, you got weight on you, it slows you down. And then he also talks about the sin which so easily ensnares you or besets you. All sin needs to be put down. All sin needs to be refused. Any and all sin should be laid aside. This context says that I understand the sin is unbelief, the sin of unbelief. So when we're talking about sin of unbelief, we're talking about the sin of doubt, the sin that goes against faith. It's the absence of faith. And understand that all of us get into a place where we get into a place of unbelief. There are some times, some things that happen in my life that will cause me to question, God, where are you? Come on, I know I haven't been there by myself before. There's been some times that I say, Lord, where you at? It seems like my enemies are winning over me. It seems like they're about to overtake me, God. Where are you at, God? And understand that God moves in his own time. Because there's some time that I wanted God to come in and bail me out, but there was a lesson to be learned in it. And if God would have bailed me out early, I would have never learned the lesson that he had for me. Yeah. We got to wait on God. We got to understand that he is a faithful God. That he's able to do what he said that he's going to do. And he's made us some promises. To never leave us nor to forsake us is one of the greatest ones that he's made to us. That he'll be with us always, even in the rough times. Even in our darkest moment, God is there. Even when we don't even know it, when we can't see him, God is still there. And all he asks for you to do is to trust him and believe him. That's what he's saying. I know it's rough. You see, because your circumstance, your situation ain't necessarily just for you. There's some other folk that's watching to see how you gonna handle this situation. There's some folk on my job that's just waiting for me to slip up. I understand that. And I understand that every day I gotta go to work, I go to work in faith. I go to work believing and trusting that God, whatever the situation that comes my way, God, you gonna see me through it. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. Because God has sent me through too many situations. And I took my pastor's advice. I built me an evidence closet, Pastor. I sure did. I built me an evidence. When he preached that message, he said that, I went home and got my saw, my hammer, and built me an evidence closet, Pastor. I built me an evidence closet because I realized that God has been too good to me. But when I built the evidence closet, one of the first things I put in there was Calvary. And it filled the closet up. There was no room for nothing else inside that closet but Calvary. Because if God don't do no more than Calvary for me, he's already done too much. He's already done too much. Calvary is all that's in the closet. So now I got the overflow room where all the other stuff goes, Pastor. All that other stuff overflows into the overflow room. And just like you say, Pastor, when the devil tell me you can't do it. I said, come on over here. Look at Calvary and look at the overflow room. Look what God has done for me. It's all about faith. It's all about having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that we got to lose some things. There's some things that we got to let go. But we also got to understand endurance, being able to take some stuff. Listen here. For the believer, this life is not fair. There's nothing fair about this life. As a matter of fact, you're going to take more than you give. There are going to be some folk that you're going to have to take some stuff from. And you're going to have to shut up and zip it up and not say nothing back. Because understand that God knows how to fight your battles. So because God is enduring and he endured the cross, I too must endure. If Christ can endure the cross, then who am I? I know folk don't like me. I understand that. I can even deal with that. So we need to endure. Understand that this race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You can't give up in the middle of a marathon. You got to pace yourself. It's about pacing yourself. It's about running the race with the goal in sight. I remember one time I was doing some senseless and mindless running in the neighborhood. I had no goal. I was just running. And normally when I run in the neighborhood, I get a various of people that will stop and say or comment or something. And some even stop me in the middle of my run and want to talk and so on and so forth. I'm like, man, don't you see I'm running? But needless to say, I get great encouragement. You're doing a wonderful job. Keep going, keep going, keep going. But there was one response that I got that really kind of like puzzled me. And it was from one of the neighbors. They said, why are you running so slow? You need to speed up. You ain't doing nothing. But understand this, that we got to take both of them, right? You got to take the encouragement. But what her intent was that if you're really going to work your heart, if you're really going to do something that is going to be effective, sometimes there's going to be some pain involved. And when we're talking about endurance, we got to understand that there's a pain factor that comes along with endurance. There's some painful stuff that you got to get through in order to get to where you need to be in terms of your endurance. And I don't know, you don't want to hear that. There is some work involved in being a Christian. Being a Christian, we don't just show up, to put the name on us. No, there's some work that is involved. There's some endurance. There's some difficulty that's coming our way. We got to endure. We got to stand fast. We can't always react to what everybody say to us. We can't always react to what everybody does to us. There's time that you got to respond in love and compassion. See, because the worldly folk, the people out in the world, and even some folk in the church really don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing when they're messing with a believer. And so therefore, it's time for us to pray for them. So let them know that, listen, you don't know who you're messing with. Because I am a child of the Most High God. And I don't have to go around telling folk that. All I got to do is live before them. Let my light shine before them. That's all that really needed. There's no introduction that's needed. Just live before them. Give them the love and the compassion that God compels us to give. So we need to have a sense of endurance in this race. To endure means to carry not only your own burden, but at times to carry others' burdens as well. To bear one's own self, to move, to continue to move in spite of opposition. To endure means to be steadfast, to be constant, to be patient. So endurance is necessary. It's a necessary quality. For Jesus even taught his disciples concerning the need to endure. We are to be people of endurance. The third thing we need to know about it is that we need to focus on Jesus. The text tells us that we're to look unto Jesus, meaning that we're to not look at the distractions that's on the side of us, but have tunnel vision, looking and focusing on Jesus, looking and focusing on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, he is the one that sets the course for us. Jesus has already set the course, and he set the course because he's already ran the course. So he knows where every pitfall is. He knows where every obstacle is. And we're to stay focused on him. Listen, it's like Reverend Ridgway preached this morning. When Peter stepped outside of the boat, it took faith to step outside the boat. It took another faith to begin to walk on the water. And as long as he was fixed on Jesus, as long as he kept looking at Jesus, he was good. But the minute the distraction showed up, he began to sink and said, "Lord, save me." And understand that there are some distractions in your life. There are some folk that are in your life that are nothing but a distraction to you. And you need to understand that you need to look at Jesus and not pay attention to the distractions. One of the things that really deters me in my running is when I begin to run and I start, man, I got 5 more miles to go. And I get focused on that. But I come to find out that if I just focus on the next foot hitting the ground, that's what my focus needs to be. My focus needs to be just that next step. Because each step is a step of faith, believing that I'm going to reach the goal that's in front of me. And much of the same way in our Christian walk, it's that next step of faith. We keep on stepping. Why? Because Christ has given us what we need to complete the task at hand. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, the beginner of our faith and the perfecter of our faith. So not only does he come to give us faith, but he comes to perfect that faith inside of us. So every situation, every circumstance that we walk in faith, we need to take it as an example from Jesus Christ himself. Listen here. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look up. Because that's where you're going to get your strength from. You need to look up. It's the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? Because he has run the race. He ran the race all the way to Calvary. And there was a joy that was set before him. It wasn't necessarily the cross, but it was me that he was seeing. He seen the result of what the cross would bring. He seen that when they nailed him to that cross, that I could be saved by my faith in the what he did on the cross. Yes, Jesus ran to the cross. It wasn't a stroll. It wasn't a walk. It was a run to the cross because he knew that it was important that I be saved and that you would be saved. And so, yes, he suffered, bled, and died on an old rugged cross. He died for your sins and my sins. Yes, he died that day. But they buried him in a tomb, and early on the third day, he rose with all power in his hand. Yeah, he ran the race. He is the finisher of the faith. He has finished my faith, and I will finish this race because he's given me the power and authority to be able to do it. So I'm running for my life. I'm running, and I'll keep on running. I don't care what comes my way. I'll continue to run this race. I won't give up. No matter what Satan comes to me with, I won't stop. Nobody can stop me from running this race because God has been too good to me. Because I'm running for my life. Running the race of faith. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.org. www.thebaptistchurchmidland.com. Thank you, and God bless you.